Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's okay. Just some technical announcements. First, this session will be voice recorded, so we want to use the mics. To use the mics, you push the red button. If you push it by accident, don't worry, I will see you. And I have also an extra button, and I can use my power at that time. Please switch your mobile phones off, so we are not disturbed. Photo is allowed unless someone has a problem, please notify that. And I think we're ready to start. Unfortunately, Adam Kosher could not start from Budapest this morning. He's on his way, and even though he has some scheduled meetings today, he will try to see us and to give the a word of welcome, but we will proceed with our other keynote speakers, and it's my pleasure to introduce Kinga Gahl, Vice Chair of the Committee on Civil Liberties, Justice and Home Affairs, European Parliament.
Thank you for the invitation, and thank you for the opportunity to be with you. I hope you will be able to follow me, although I lost my voice on Friday. It's better now. But I was thinking that due to the microphone, I'm sure it will work. So if you can't hear this way, please put on the headphones, because with that way it will be easier to follow me. I hope my voice will last until these few minutes I would exchange some views with you. Well, first of all, I had the task. I was asked to welcome you all here. I've heard that you are here from more than 15 countries representing international organizations. I've heard that we have some professors among us from several universities, and we have, most important, we have teachers among us. And let me greet also the organizers of this event. I do think that your projects, the project Drama Improves Lisbon Key Competences in Education, is an excellent one. And I don't say it just as a mere of a mere courtesy, but after having read the materials you have sent me to prepare for this conference, I really think that it merits some words, it merits attention, and our work and task here today is to try to raise awareness further on, to send your messages further on into the different committees of the Parliament, and of course towards the Commission, and if possible, towards the Member States. So, would you have asked me about this nice project or the effects of the educational theatre a couple of months ago, I could not have answered you any project-related questions. But after having read this, I realized that, oh, I am very familiar with what you're doing, because I am a mother of four children, and each of my child, thanks to the Hungarian education system, got this kind of education. And we all of them had during the first 5 years drama lessons at school, and we both, parents and children, enjoy them very much. And I have to tell you that there are excellent Hungarian textbooks on this. I can say that I am happy that Hungary took the leading role in this project, and I'm also greeting partners of this project, Czech Republic, Netherlands, Norway, Palestine, Poland, Portugal, Romania, Serbia, Slovenia, Sweden, and United Kingdom. I myself was very surprised of the result of the project, which is covering the experience, and this was quite shocking, more than 4,500 children and covering 12 countries. I think this is very important. I think that as a member of a LIBE committee, the committee which is dealing with the civic rights of the citizens in the Union, and also member of the subcommittee of human rights of the European Parliament, which is dealing with the human rights, civil rights of those who live in third countries, so outside the European Union, and being also the co-chair of the Intergroup for Traditional Minorities, from this perspective, it was also really interesting to read among the list of effects the participating children, that after these lessons learned by the children can be more tolerant towards both minorities and foreigners, that they are more active citizens, show more interest in voting at any level, show more interest in participating in public issues, and show more dedication towards their future and have more plans. I think now when we are discussing the future of Europe, whenever you go in any of these committees, this parliament or the plenary meeting, you will hear about the Europe 2020, about the big ideas, and we still are searching where to start. And I think you already found the answer. It's exactly what the future of Europe needs from the children, being more active as citizens, being more conscious, Europe-conscious citizens, or being more tolerant toward their neighbors, even they are coming from a national minority background or speak regional languages, or they live in neighborhoods where there are plenty of immigrants. Further on, being someone who believes that families are or should be one of the most important connections, I was happy to see that the educational theatre and drama has even an effect on the family life. As participating children, as I followed from your documents, do more for their families, are more likely to have a part-time job and spend more time being creative, either alone or in a group. They more frequently go to the theatre, exhibitions and museums, and the cinema, and go hiking and biking more often, so they are more open towards their surroundings and feel better at home. I think that's what we need in Europe. Citizens who have the backgrounds here, and I think the most decisive years are the years spent in education, and there the basis have been done. So if we get children who can care more for their surroundings, who can care more for their families, and who can live more as an active citizen, that's what can have an active, positive result for Europe by 2020. I do believe that the consequent using of educational theatre and drama would result in much more tolerant children, so much more tolerant adults in Europe. So, as I already mentioned at the very beginning, I think that it's very important to disseminate the result of the project among the members of this parliament, especially those who are working in the Culture Committee, in the Employment Committee, or in the LIBE Committee, where I come from. Or I do advise you, as I will do myself, to raise awareness in the European Commission. I do advise you to turn to the Directorate General for Education and Culture. that to ask them to consider the result of the policy paper in the policy making. But this is only one side of the coin. The other side, the most important side, is on national level, that the national decision maker should be aware of what the outcome of this project was, what could be done when this can be enrolled in the national curriculum, as we see it in the case of many schools in Hungary. I do think that it would be an excellent idea that this project should reach the decision makers in the member states, that seminars, information campaigns should be organized, but not only for decision makers, but also for parents and children in school open days and for teachers in many schools. I think that whatever challenge we are facing now, and we know that it's not only economic, it's much more social, and it's much more about whether our values, where our ideas could survive. I think that Europe will face these challenges only if we start to change something around and within our children. And I do think that this project, the DICE project, is one of the existing and available tools to change something around and within our children. So therefore, I wish you all the best to the project. I congratulate the organizers and everybody who was involved. And I can assure all the guests here that I will do my best to support your conception. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your important speech. Thank you for indicating that we are not only sharing the ideas of who the future citizens of Europe should be, but we also have now more definite ideas on how to make it happen and how to make it a long plan. So it's really 2020. And we know that we need to address at least these three very important groups, like parents, as you, because you make the connection, and whoever you are as a parent, you will try and change the situation for the better education. Then we need to find people as important as our next speaker, who can also influence other decision makers and programmers of a lot of important programs that make the change possible, and other decision makers, especially at our national levels. As you indicated, there are differences of respect for this form of education that drama is. There will be big differences between Hungary and other member states and non-member states in Europe, and we want to reach beyond Europe with our research. And we need to target teachers, and I hope that you will find some of the tools and some of our products, especially the publication, an excellent tool to reach those teachers. So thank you very much for your speech, and now it is my great pleasure to introduce Jan Truszczyński, Director General for Education, Training, Culture and Youth, European Commission. And thank you very much for joining us, because this gave me the chance to be the chair, because there was no risk I would mispronounce your last name.
Well, people try hard, I can assure you of that, and some of them even succeed. It's not such a terribly difficult name, not as difficult as some of the Hungarian names, for instance. But I admit, yes, it's comforting to have a Polish chair of a conference easier than in a way. Ladies and gentlemen, of course it's not about this that I would like to share a few thoughts with you. It is mostly about this DICE project and how we look at it when we put it against the background of the policies in general on education and culture in the EU of 27. As I was looking at this project, especially at the products that were made in the context of the project, I kept saying to myself, well, for once, good value for money. We invested money under the Comenius program, funding this DICE project to a considerable extent. In a good way. In a good way, the 2 years of research on theatre in education seem to be bringing interesting and good results. Of course, it is an obvious thing to say that educational theatre offers young people valuable learning opportunities. We instinctively all know about that. We also know instinctively even that participation in arts in general can lead to higher levels of achievement in education, and therefore it should be part of overall learning experience inside the school, outside the school. Every time you have our ministers of culture looking at this issue, everybody will readily agree that yes, this is so, and that's why it deserves further and more support. Actually, when you look at it closely enough, you see that this kind of issue has only friends in the European Union. And if you look back to the European Parliament and Council joint recommendation of 2006 on the so-called key competences, the framework for key competences for lifelong learning, you will see that it's not just knowledge, skills and attitudes as the three key elements that they identified, but that looking at those key competences, they agreed on 8 of them as transversal competences, good for everyone, and identified cultural expression and awareness as one of those 8 key issues. It is clear, of course, increasingly, that both in the workplace today, in the companies, there is more and more need for and more reliance on artists, on creative professionals to promote creativity and innovation among all employees. It is clear also that if you look at the public sector, in the public sector too, it is increasingly important to have creative and innovative people who can help steer reform and who, above all, can help to design reform where needed. And that brings us to the view that in order to have such people, we need to motivate them and help them already in school. It is there that the first steps in developing creativity have to be made. Now, the research, when I looked at it, it seems to show quite clearly the positive influence of theatre on learning. It seems to demonstrate and actually to confirm that all the young people who participated in educational theatre and drama activities are more likely to feel creative and are better at problem solving. They seem to be more innovative, they seem to be more entrepreneurial. In fact, when I look at the list of things that young people who have benefited from those drama activities seem to do better than before, I was so impressed that I said to myself, it cannot be really true. It cannot be that one field of activity can generate so many positive outputs all at once. And yet, what one reads is promising and is impressive. And it's, by the way, not the only kind of work done in this field. And, member states, and I think that many of those here present today will know about it. Member states have been studying ways to develop more synergy between education and culture, especially through the vehicle of art education. This work has been a subject of much interest in the context of what we call European Agenda of Culture in the first 3 years of the implementation of that agenda under the so-called work plan for culture agreed by our member states are coming to a close now at the end of this year, and we will have the next stage where I feel, I know even, these issues will continue to deserve all the attention they merit. Member States, in their conclusions and recommendations, stress the importance of introducing transdisciplinarity in school curricula through project-based teaching. This means mainstreaming culture and the arts in all teaching. It is believed, so member states say, that this helps to create a richer learning environment for pupils in schools and other educational settings. And partnerships between schools and cultural institutions are important to facilitate the dialogue between arts education and all the other subjects taught. But teachers also need training in this type of approach, as do artists working with children in schools and outside the schools. Now, along with this recommendation on this so-called transdisciplinarity, our member states underline the importance of teaching young people about heritage as a way to build bridges between cultures and to foster contacts between peoples. And they also underline the importance of promoting media literacy and the use of new technologies. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is one thing to introduce art and culture in the curriculum of our schools, but it is equally, if not more important, how this will be done, how this is already being done in some of our member states. The exposure, we feel, in the Commission needs to be frequent, sustainable, and of high quality. The development of creativity, which fosters an innovative spirit, is ongoing and needs to be part of the educational process at all levels. And that means that we also need to take into account the role that non-formal and informal education play. Of course, the foundation of it all remains the formal education, but it alone is not enough, is not sufficient. We all know we are learning constantly in our daily lives, at work, in leisure activities, in cultural activities, in social activities, and more often than not, the competences and skills gained in this way are not recognized, are not validated, and do not enjoy the place they should in the marketplace, in the relationships between employees and employers. Next year, we in the Commission, that's the education part of our activities in Education and Culture DG, we will propose a recommendation to the Member States on the promotion and validation of non-formal and informal learning. I have no time to go deeper into that subject right now, but I see it as a promising and necessary, above all, necessary line of our activity, allowing such recognition and validation not only in our national systems, but also, above all, in a cross-border way on the single market in the European Union. Now, if we are to convince others of the benefits of artistic and cultural education at the formal level and also at the informal level, we need solid arguments. It's, of course, very good to look at a brochure or at a movie showing young people engaged in artistic activities. It's always pleasant, but this is not sufficient when you start a discussion on how and where to put your limited resources.
And that's why persuasive arguments showing how and why arts bring about positive changes are necessary. I particularly like the fact that the project you have been doing for those last 2 years has given us tangible elements to work with. The linkages, relationship between drama education and the knowledge and skills as outputs is demonstrated here, including in a quantified way. And this quantification of work done under the project is of particular interest and importance. I do not need to say that it is, of course, impossible to offer mathematical evidence about the role and influence of cultural activities in the work on competences and skills that will then easily translate into budgets for the successor culture program in the European Union. We must not be as simplistic as that. It's impossible. But I have to say that every instance where we are actually able to demonstrate in a clear and convincing way that there is a cause and effect relationship between inputs in education and outputs in education is a strong argument in favor of doing more and doing it better. And for all that, you need resources at the national level, above all, but you also may need resources to support national level activities through complementary and supportive European action. So I can assure you that as far as DG Education and Culture is concerned, in our design of successor programs in the fields of education and culture, we will be using elements such as the outputs of the DICE project. And independent of the intrinsic value of the project and the interest that educational systems in our member states should have in pursuing and building on the achievements of the project, we see a clear interest of it and benefit of it in our work aiming at securing a proper place for education and for culture in the next multi-annual programming of EU policies, in the next multi-annual budgetary framework for the period after 2013. So thank you very much for that. It's not often that can see such a productive and good set of results of a project that we helped to bring about through the community funding. So thank you very much and good luck with continuation of that.
Thank you so much, because it's not just presence, and that would be already a lot, but these strong words are like balsam to our souls, especially that so many of us are artists and feel artists, and doing statistics was a pain, but now we see that was the right way to approach it, because we really understood the importance of quantification and that relationship that you stress now, because really to argue, to have these arguments, we need to prove the relationship between the cost and effect in education, and we need to have recommendations on how to translate it into educational practice. And we are these links. We are people bridging the world of arts with education. In many cases, it's physically the bridge. We are the bridge. But we are also exposed to the arts and know how it works personally. So we are agents of change in this way. But thank you again for your strong words. I hope we can use these words and quote, because then it's the most powerful tool you gave us right now. Thank you so much. Unless we have very urgent comments, questions we want to share with Mr. Truszczyński, we will move on to the next part. So we can actually now introduce DICE and the project. I know that you have a busy schedule, but you can stay a little bit.
Stay a moment, yeah,
that's,
sure.
Again, a great sign of and a great pride of our work that we deserve your attention. Thank you very much. I know that you also have a busy schedule, but as long as you can stay, please stay. We, of course, understand, and thank you for your contribution. Thank you very much again. And now I will ask our leader, Adam Csiboly, to introduce DICE project and policy paper. Adam. No, come here. As theatre people, we are used to standing for the presentation, but again, for technical reasons to be recorded, we need to sit.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you very much for the opportunity. So a few words about what is the DICE project. It was an international EU-supported two years long cross-cultural research, which means that we have been investigating 12 different countries on the effect of educational theater and drama on 5 of the 8 Lisbon key competencies. Communication in the mother tongue, learning to learn, interpersonal, social and civic competence, entrepreneurship, cultural awareness and expression. The consortium consisted of 12 partners from 12 different countries. The consortium leader was the Hungarian Kava Drama and Theater and Education Association. And besides, the consortium consisted an equal proportion of countries from East, West, South, and North, and also from EU and non-EU. From the organizational background in the consortium, we had 4 large national universities. Also, we had NGOs, we had umbrella organizations, we had different organizations working in the field of city council cultural area. So I could say that the consortium was very rich from geographical, organizational, also from methodological point of view, because the applied techniques, applied educational theater and drama techniques were quite rich. It varied from different kind of activities, from children's theater, from forum theater to theater and education. In the afternoon sessions, you will see many examples of such activities that have been measured in the DICE project. A few words about the database. So we have data from almost 4,500 young people. And we have measured 1,080 different variables in case of each young person, which means that we have an output file. We have actually exactly 4,833,000 cells, pieces of data. Good morning. It means that actually what we have created is a quite large, quite unique database that could be analyzed far beyond the scope of this publication, which is the policy paper. And I'm going to continue with the key results, but first I would like to give the floor to Mr. Adam Kosha, who is here to greet us, and he couldn't be here because of his aeroplane didn't start on time.
Yes, thank you very much for your determination.
Köszönöm szépen, hogy ilyen hamar szót kaphattam.
Thank you very much for getting.
Kérem, de sajnos késett a gépem.
Thank you very much for getting the word
ez
so quickly.
Ez egy európai névbetegség.
And excuse me, but my plane was late. It's a European disease.
De nagyon fontosnak tartom, hogy itt is elmondjam a gondolataimat a mai nappal kapcsolatosan.
But I think it's very important to share my thoughts about today here as well.
Három magyar néppárti képviselő támogatta ezt a konferenciát.
This conference has been supported by three MEPs from European People's Party.
Közöttük én, mert fontosnak tartom,
among that
hogy a drámapedagógia szerepet kapjon a közéletben.
Among them it was me, because I think it is very important that educational drama gets a spotlight in everyday life as well.
Biztos nem mindenki tudja, de én a képviselői munkám mellett Magyarországon a Siketek és Nagyot Hallók Országos Szövetségének az elnöke vagyok.
Some of you might not know, but I'm, besides my MEP work, I'm also the president of Hungarian Deaf and Hard Hearing People's Association.
És a szövetségben négy éve működik egy színjátszó csoport, Siket és Nagyot Halló tagokkal.
And in the association there is a theater group of young people operating for 4 years with the participation of deaf and hard hearing people.
És rajtuk látom, hogy mennyit segít a színház, a drámapedagógia. Teljesen más emberek lettek ők is a négy év alatt.
And I can see how much theater helped them. During the 4 years, with the help of educational drama and theater, they became completely new persons.
Ezért is örülök annak, hogy más országokban is van példa arra, hogy siket és nagyot halló emberek is részt vesznek ilyen programokban.
That's why I'm so glad that in other countries there is an opportunity that deaf and hard hearing people are taking part in such activities.
Például Szlovéniát említeném.
For example, I would mention Slovenia.
Meggyőződésem és kutatások is bizonyítják, hogy a drámapedagógia és a színházi élet is elősegíti az embereket abban, hogy jobban kiálljanak saját magukért.
I believe, and also researches show, that theater and drama help people to stand up for themselves more.
Az Európai Parlament is arról szól, hogy a közel 500 millió állampolgár érdekét képviselje.
European Parliament is about representing almost 500 million citizens of Europe.
És itt találkozik talán az első gondolatom ezzel.
And here meets my first thought with this.
Elősegíti az embereket, segíti abban, a fiatalokat segíti abban, hogy kiálljanak magukért.
That educational drama and theater helps young people to stand up for themselves.
Úgyhogy sikeres konferenciát kívánok önöknek, és még egyszer elnézésüket kérem a késés miatt. Ez sajnos rajtam kívülálló ok volt.
So I wish you a very successful conference, and again, please excuse me for my delay, and it was out of my control.
We understand, and we really appreciate. And thank you so much for stressing the inclusive element of our work. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We can continue.
Yes. We understand when you have to leave, you will leave.
Egy kicsit még tudunk maradni.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Az igazság az, hogy több időt terveztem, de a késés sajnos elrabolta tőlünk ezt az időt.
Okay, so just summarizing the key results of the research. I promised to have to translate from Hungarian to English. So just Mr. Kocsa said that he plans to be stay with us a longer time, more time, but actually the plane delay just robbed the time from him, and he's very happy to be with us.
But we understood also kitchen, but little time.
Okay, so the last part of my presentation is actually just summarizing the key results before introducing you the methodology of the research. So, but the key results are actually, if compared with peers who had not been participating in any educational theater or drama activities, the theater and education young people are different in 22 different ways. One, they are assessed more highly by their teachers in all aspects, in all different kind of competencies. They feel more confident in reading and understanding tasks. They feel more confident in communication. They are more likely to feel that they are creative. They like to go to school more. They enjoy school activities more. They are better at problem solving. They are better at coping with stress. They are very significantly more tolerant towards both minorities and foreigners. They are much more active citizens. They show more interest in voting at any level. They show more interest in participating in public issues. More empathic. They have more concern for others. They are more able to change their perspective and look at the problem from different sides. They are more innovative and entrepreneurial. They show more dedication towards their future, and they have more plans about their future. Are much more willing to participate in any forms of arts and culture, not just performing arts, but really any kind of arts and culture forms we have been measuring. So writing, making music, films, handicrafts, attending different kind of arts activities, going to museums, and anything like that. They spend more time in school, more time with reading, doing housework, playing, talking, spend more time with family members, taking care of younger brothers and sisters. In contrast, they spend less time watching TV, surfing on the internet, or playing computer games. They do more for their families, are more likely to have a part-time job, spend more time being creative, either alone in a groups. They are more frequently going to theater, exhibition, museums, even hiking and biking. More likely to be central character in their class, have a better sense of humor, and they feel better at home. And actually, it might sound unbelievable, but actually all of this is supported by hard data, by statistical analysis. And my colleague Attila Varga is going to talk about the relevance of the DICE project before we hear about the research methodology. Just one more thing, I have one more commitment I forgot. I have to introduce you this booklet, which is The DICE Has Been Cast, the policy paper. Here you can find a very rich compilation of results, almost on 100 pages. So if you don't have a free copy yet, please take it, and please feel free to take more copies if you need. Thank you.
Thank you, Adam. So now Attila Varga, who is educational expert of our DICE project, will talk about the relevance of the DICE.
So thank you very much for the floor. What I would like to present you in very briefly, the reasons why drama people for over the Europe decided to run such a project as DICE. I'm very lucky as the keynote speakers has mentioned many aspects of my presentation, so I will be quite quick. First of all, the relevance from the Drama people of this research was that when the Lisbon competencies was published, the Drama people all over the Europe was quite happy that many aspects of life which are considered to be important from the point of view of Drama people are mentioned in this competence definition. But after a little time, Drama people has recognized that educational research and educational discussion about these competencies are mainly about some of these competencies, literacy, numeracy, science competencies, language, and so on. And there is just a very little, a very rare methodology or very rare researches about other competencies which are considered very important also in the DICE project and also in the Lisbon competencies. And that's why Drama people decided to make an effort to prove that it is possible to develop methodology for monitoring all Lisbon competencies, as it was mentioned by Mr. Truszczynski, that it's a very, very important thing to have hard statistical data. So that's why the DICE collecting data about competencies, which were rarely estimated or rarely examined before, and using a much more complex source of data than other large-scale competence assessment programs. And on the other side, DICE people also recognize the weaknesses of the previous researches in the Drama field and try to make an effort to improve the Drama researches. And to our best knowledge, this project, the DICE project, is the largest and the most complex one in the field of Drama research, Drama and educational research so far. And the last point for this slide, the DICE people recognize that this educational theater and Drama field is important for many in many documents of the education and cultural area in the European Union. There are more dozens documents which are listed on the policy paper, the book which Adam just presented. So you can, if you work in any sector of education or cultural life in Europe, you can find some key documents which are which mentioning Drama. Okay. And just some words about why Drama people make this DICE project. It was very clear from the beginning that there are some message we would like to collect some evidence for them. This slide just collecting these messages very briefly. So we recommend for the European Union that we have to develop some tools to assess all 8 Lisbon competencies, not just those which are often measured. And also even read carefully the Lisbon competencies, Drama people recognized that there are some aspects of competencies which are lacking from the present definition. So, and that's why Drama people decide to make some assessment on those aspects which are even not mentioned yet in the Lisbon competencies. And we hope so that maybe in the future there could be some improvement also in the competencies. To consider the needs of human beings and not just the employers. And some very technical recommendation that also if we would like to improve the education and Drama and theater field, we need some funding and administration help, so education and theater and Drama should be indicated as a priority in the related framework programs. And lastly, it should be very important to build strategic partnership with the key networks. And just very briefly, we had some recommendation also for national authorities and regional local authorities, and this recommendation is just for to ensure that all the children should have regular access to education, theater and drama, and we have also some recommendation for partner institution about to establish a network of organization dedicated to theater and drama. So thank you for your attention and your patience.
Thank you very much, Attila. You need to have, thank you. Thank you again.
Ale cieszę się, bo nie wiedziałem, że są ciekawe badania prowadzone edukacyjne, więc to od jakich tam wiemy. Dziękuję bardzo.
A czy można?
Tak, to od pani Wisner właśnie.
Dobra, dziękuję serdecznie.
We will now move on to main aspects of the methodology that was suggested and used for the DICE research, and this will be introduced by Ildiko Danis and Sylvia Nemeth, the leaders of DICE research.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Ildiko Danis, and I am a developmental psychologist and researcher in Hungary. We were the research leaders and coordinators of the international DICE study. I was responsible for the quantitative part of the research, and my colleague Sylvia Nemeth for the qualitative one. Now, we are trying to introduce you shortly and not deeply into the design of our research. This project was the first one which tried to demonstrate statistically valid and reliable results from the field of dramatic activities in education on such a wide multicultural population. We suggested a longitudinal cross-cultural research study as a skeleton of the project, along with individual researches in all countries. Data was collected from educational fields of 12 nations. Two different kinds of groups with different treatments was examined in every culture, research groups and country groups. Research groups had two types. Research groups with one occasion drama, in which effects of drama as a special few hours long occasion was measured, just like theater in education programs. And research groups with continuous regular dramatic activities, in which effects of regular meetings in a 3-4 month long period was investigated. For example, a youth group preparing theatre performances. A minimum for continuous activity was 10 occasions or meetings. There were control groups for both research groups in which there were no occurrences of dramatic activities in education. Our main purposes was to examine the effects of drama activities on 5 Lisbon key competences, which were the following: communication in the mother tongue, learning to learn, interpersonal, intercultural and social competences, civic competence, entrepreneurship and cultural expression. We assume that dramatic activities can affect the investigated key competences positively, but the results may depend on some other variables. For example, cultural background of education, like demography of child's family, education of the parents, reading in family, financial situation of the family and support, or the type of dramatic activity used, for example, frequency of meetings, length of the meetings, how long the program has been going on, and other key characteristics of the drama activities, or just the sex or age of children. We call these factors as moderators' effects because some effects can influence the results through these factors. For example, girls might be more sensitive than boys to dramatic education affecting empathy, but not democratic attitudes, and so on. We can assume that drama not always affects directly, in a direct way. Sometimes mediative factors can be hypothesized. For example, psychological well-being or anxiety in school and at home, child characteristics, feeling control, feeling development, self-respect, challenge, flexibility, social situation in class, social anxiety, self-esteem, and so on. Some factors will be important in the close future in order to clean our results from some specific effects of some external things like, for example, intellectual capacity, length of time between input and output data collection, or, for example, exams around the data collections. So every culture examined different kind of research groups and their controls. It was important for the data collection that the groups had to attend the same school or belong to a very similar environment as the research ones. Checking the demographical variables of the research and control groups, we can say that there were no significant differences according to these factors. Finally, we had 111 different drama programs and their controls, and 4,475 children in our study altogether. 13, 16-year-old youths were investigated in the research study. We have chosen an adolescent cohort to investigate because, first, the definition of key competencies is a suggestion for output and therefore a guide for education. Older children are closer to this output. Second, one of the aims of education is to prepare for life. This can be measured among older children only. Third, competencies developed in younger ages could easily be destroyed by later education or miseducation. Fourth, drama activities in education are usually used in adolescence because teachers believe that developing competencies, attitudes, and skills are very effective in that age group. And five, reliable measurement of attitudes is more possible in that age group. For example, questionnaires are not reliable with little children. Two longitudinal investigations was conducted to demonstrate some robust effects of dramatic activities on key competencies. A 4 month long design for continuous and a short time, 1 month long design for one occasion activities. We have examined competencies before and after the treatments, like drama programs for research groups, and at the same time for control groups. Data collection points were between September of 2009 and January of 2010.
Okay, thank you very much. And I would like to continue to show you this frame. It's a frame for our research. In this slide you can see that what kind of methods we used during our research, and you can see two triangulations. The first one, it says that self-report, teacher's perception and objective observation, and the second one, program leader's description of theater and drama activities, professional judgment of drama descriptions. But what do these mean? You see that in this kind, we used two types of data collection. The first one is quantitative with questionnaires, and the second one, it's a kind of qualitative data gathering. The first one consists of self-report. It was a questionnaire for children, which was a 14-page long questionnaire, and they had to fill it in. It was a self-completed questionnaire about their attitudes, about competences and all these. And also we can measure some indirect factors which can lie behind the competences. The next one was the teacher's perception. It means that we asked all the class teachers of children participating in the research also about their competencies in order to get two databases which allow us to compare the data from children and from the teachers side. And also we try to add to these two questionnaire types of research a method of objective observation. Of course, observation of drama works cannot be said that objective, because in all cases there are observers who are the transmitters of the observation. But of course, we try to develop an instrument for this DICE project, which is unique from the sense that there were two observers in each drama occasion, and we try to compare their views about the drama work, and we try to measure the interactions of children, the work forms, and also a kind of overall evaluation of the drama work. This is the uniqueness of this observation grid lies in the fact that it tries to quantify the observation. Usually observations are qualitative observations, but in this case we quantify them. And that's why we supported the self-report and the teacher's perception. In the second triangulation, you can see that there are program leaders' description of drama, activities and theater work. It means that we asked all of these 111 program leaders to write about their drama works, and we analyzed it by the help of a scientific software Atlas. So it's a kind of quantification also of these drama descriptions. And there were two outsider researchers who pre-testified the professional descriptions. So it was a kind of outside research of this one, and two other things, that there were unique qualitative studies by countries from Poland and from the United Kingdom, and also on an online surface of the website, we asked the European experts from the field of theater and drama to fill in an online questionnaire, and we analyzed 61 answers or respondents from this online survey. And of course there are other data which can be analyzed, but now in today you will see the main results of this 8 or 7 databases. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Maybe there are some specific questions to our research leaders at this point. Now they have identified themselves. You are free to get them during lunch and ask the difficult questions. Thank you very much. Now I'd like to introduce Chris Cooper, the editor of the educational resource, who will have a few hats today, but now he will introduce the educational resource. Chris.
I'm going to use the PowerPoint before, so I'm terrified.
I'll
come closer.
Take the big seat.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm just going to speak briefly about making a world of difference, and I hope that what I say corresponds to what flashes up behind me.
It will.
Good. Making a World of Difference is the title of the education resource that we have produced for the DICE project. And I just want to read a little quote from it as a way of framing what we believe that we have created. We state that the contents of these pages represent our struggle to open doors for young people to see themselves and their world. The ethos underpinning the DICE project has been developed by the practice of the research project itself. It reflects our own learning, the spirit of our collaboration, and the ongoing practice. The aim of this educational resource is to share what we have learned along the way with fellow practitioners and those who are new to this field of work, in the hope that it will encourage them to explore for themselves what we believe to be important work. You, dear reader, can respond to what we offer, add to and develop it, and hopefully join us on our journey. We don't profess to be the final definitive word in educational theatre and drama. We are merely attempting to express ourselves at this moment, and that's what it represents. And we hope that it's a practical tool for anybody who wishes to use it. It's broken up into four very simple sections. The first is the introduction, the DICE project, what is DICE? The second section is educational theatre, what is it? Then there's part of the ethos, and then there's a summary of the research findings. Can you just go back to B? Sorry, B is the second section. How educational theatre and drama improves competencies. Documented practice. We called it documented practice, not best practice. It's simply a documenting of what we understand now. And if we were to write it tomorrow, it would be different. But it's 12 examples of educational theatre and drama from Gaza, from Hungary, from Netherlands, Norway, Poland, Romania, Serbia, and the United Kingdom. And there's two documented practices per competence: learning to learn, cultural expression, communication in the mother tongue, entrepreneurship, interpersonal, intercultural and social and civic competences. And there's a sixth competence that we created ourselves. Now, the reason for that is, obviously, a dice has six sides. But there was more to it than that. Because what we also realised is that the competences, while important in themselves, do tend to see things in a slightly restricted view, depending on which side you're looking at. What we realise every day when we work with young people, and what young people tell us, is that drama and theatre reflects all of those competencies, each side, but they also reflect the whole. And our number six is all this and more. And what we say about all this and more is our own definition, if I can find it. Yes, I can. Is the following. Number six on our dice incorporates the first five, but adds a new dimension, because educational theatre and drama is fundamentally concerned with the universal competence of what it is to be human. An increasing concern about the coherence of our society and developing democratic citizenship requires a moral compass by which to locate ourselves and each other in the world, and to begin to re-evaluate and to create new values, to imagine, envisage a society worth living in, and living with a better sense of where we are going, with a deep conviction about what kind of people we want to be. We'd like to think that all of the documented practice reflects that struggle, but we've provided two particular examples to just try and illustrate it for you. And that is part B. Part C is called Another Throw of the Dice, following on with the motif. What you can do next, over to you. And it's very simple. There are six steps, simple steps, targeted at six different groups of how you might take this and use it and try and develop educational theatre and drama in your context, whether it's a school, whether it's a shopping centre, a prison, wherever, so that you can go to people, whether they be teachers, whether they be head teachers, whether they be artists, students, lecturers, and teachers of trainer teachers, policy makers, and say to them, this is what we think we should do. I'd like to find out more about it. I need someone to work with to go on to the next step. And it's as simple as that. And the final section, section D of the book, is three appendices. A is an attempt to define some theatre and drama terms that many of you will be familiar with, some people won't. So that you've actually got, if you like, a dictionary to go with the toolkit. The second is called Finding Out More. Where there's more information, we have a long bibliography of key texts in the field of drama and theatre, web addresses, different portals relating to EU policy, but also international policy on drama and education, contacts, that's contacting us if you want to talk more, and others, and of course courses where you can go and find out more and be trained more. And the final, of course, is contacting the consortium. Anybody who's here, anybody who receives this, we would like to say that everybody who's part of this consortium as a partner would like you to contact us and talk more about it. So if you like, it's a contribution to a discussion that we feel needs to be had, and we hope it's a practical tool. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for making clear that the concept of bridging that was earlier mentioned by Jan Truszczyński, and I think that educational resource is a powerful tool for bridging our findings with the partners that were brought here as our target by King Gagal. We are incredibly efficient. We are not like artists at all. We are the bridge, and we are ahead of time. I noticed that those desperate for coffee just got it, and you're doing well with this, so please feel free. Coffee is outside, right? So for those who really need it, but in this way we will save more time for lunch break and for important conversations and questions. So I suggest we move ahead of the program, and I will now ask Irina Pilos from Sigma Art Foundation in Bucharest, Romania, who will present the montage of educational and theatre and drama activities edited by Sigma Art Romania, the organization whose president Christian Dumitrescu is also with us documenting this conference. He was also responsible for the task of this montage. We are all very excited.
Thank you for the photos of the partners. Thank you for your logos and for the photos. We had a hard time. We had a lot of work to do, but hopefully you will enjoy it. It's a surprise for the partners too, so hopefully.
Thank you.
only as the a director for international programs, but Institute of Education, I'd like to comment on the music, that we do need education. Of course, we don't need bad education, but we need ideas how to make the education better, and I think we will share a lot of these ideas as part of our conference today. We already have done that. Thank you very much for your work. And I think this was a good introduction, both music and the images, to more fun with what we do, because I think we are bridging education with the arts, showing that it can be very enjoyable as very educational. So Chris, with his second hat today, will lead interactive exercise with us. This time, Chris, as artistic director of Big Brum Theatre in Education Company from Birmingham, will share some of the work he does every day.
Yes, right. Good morning again. And I'll do something in the space in front of you all, and then I arrived and I realised there was no space. So, this is going to be a feat of imagination on your behalf, as much as my own. What I want us to do is, I'm going to demonstrate an approach, that's all, on educational theatre and drama. And what I want to do is use the elements of the first documented practice in the education resource, which is called Suitcase. And it's a drama workshop. Now, normally, I take between 2 or 3 hours with this, so we've got a bit of a problem because I've got half an hour. Secondly, I wanted to share it because, and I'll just literally set it up and just begin to explore some of the ideas and hope that it will demonstrate something for us, because I wanted to choose it, one, because I've worked on this kind of theme in the last 6 months in China, in Norway last week, Malta, Greece, and of course in Birmingham, with this very simple idea. And it's universal, and it's the idea of a suitcase. And it's universal, why? Because a suitcase evokes something very important for all of us. Everybody can connect with a suitcase, and every suitcase tells a story. And so, I wanted to use a very simple object to demonstrate something. Now, I have an object. A suitcase. It's my suitcase, actually. And I'm sure that every single one of you can begin to connect your own stories with it. So I am connecting with you, because in our culture, we are our objects. We are our objects. And as you're looking at it, you are beginning to place yourself into it. You can't help it. You've got to. So, I'm going to tell you the beginnings of a story to do with the suitcase, and I don't know the end of it. I don't know the end. That's probably down to us. If we had time, we might find out what comes at the end. But it's a very simple story that, for me, demonstrates something very useful. It doesn't just demonstrate learning to learn, as it does in the book. It demonstrates a way of thinking, a way of being. It demonstrates thinking through the imagination, because it's the imagination in action. And through the imagination in action, we are liberated from the tyranny of now, of the actual, and we're freed to think of the possible. We can envisage a future. imagination is a unique human quality, and it is infused with the energy of creativity. And we all have it. We all have it. And I want to use it with my suitcase. So, we'll get out of this what we put into it, alright? Now, first of all, you can't see anything, so I'd just like to invite you to... I wouldn't do this normally. I would build this space with the young people, but I can't for time and because I haven't made the space. So, if you could stand, and I'd like you to see, I've got a little space mapped out on the floor. And if you can't see, feel free to come nearer. That's all right. We can be radical, we can abandon our chairs. We can sit on the floor. Okay. And just make sure you're comfortable. Can people see it? Because where the story starts is in a room. A room with a door that opens inwards. It's a small room with a window looking out onto a street. And a bed, a single bed. And a chest of drawers. You know, a bedside cabinet with drawers to put your belongings. That's all that's in there. Apart from in the roof, on a single electrical cord, there is a naked light bulb, which you can turn on by pressing the switch there. Now, how did this room get to be occupied? Well, you see, this is a story about a man. Now, he came to this country because he had to. He had no choice. He had to leave. And I don't know if he's a migrant with paperwork or whether he's an asylum seeker or I actually don't know even if he's an illegal, a non-person, a man with no identity as far as authority is concerned. But he came to this country, and at first they put him in an accommodation centre. But the problem with that is it wasn't very accommodating. It was overcrowded, it was uncomfortable, it was unfriendly. And I know that at one point, one day, he decided that he would leave. Now, I don't know if he ran away or whether they just opened the door and let him go. But he made his way into the city, and he made his way to a building with three floors, and he found a room that he could live in. And outside his room, there's a corridor, and it leads into the rest of the living space. I don't know who he shares it with, but I know he has to share the bathroom and the kitchen. But he lives in here, with him. And this room is very, very, very sparse. And funnily enough, you can lock it from the inside. You can't lock it from the outside. And I want you to look at this space. I want you to look at this room. And I'm going to ask somebody, and please don't be shy, because we haven't got long. But I'd like to ask you, as you look at this man's room, can anyone tell us what condition the walls of the room are in?
The
paint is peeling off the walls. It's a room where there's no wallpaper, it's painted, but the paint is beginning to crack and peel away. Do you know what colour it is?
Whitish.
Whitish. What do you mean ish? Is it meant to be white? Or? I see. So it's not had a fresh lick of paint for quite a long time. And now it's off-white. Ray. And it's beginning to peel.
Grey.
Almost grey. It's like it's gone from its former glory to a rather tarnished shade of itself. And it's peeling away from the walls. Probably because there may be moisture in the air that's creating it. Could anyone just tell us of a distinctive feature on this wall? Yes, please.
There are some messages written on the wall in different languages and even in different kinds of alphabets.
Yeah, different. So we've got different alphabets, different languages, different voices, and they're literally... Well, you say walls have ears in English, but also walls can speak. They can tell you what's come before, and different messages. Adam, do you know what any one of the messages says?
I can only understand Arabic.
And what does it say?
It says something very religious. I can't relate, I don't know Quran, but it's very religious.
So somebody has wanted to speak to God, and through God speak to others. Someone who occupied this space before the man. Perhaps at a time when the paintwork was much more fresh. Perhaps, who knows? Could anyone tell us about the condition of the floor?
Dirty. I have been in a place like that.
I had one like that when I was a student. And it's dirty as well. So are you talking vermin, like mice, or are you talking about bugs?
Yes.
Fleas?
Yes.
You know, around your ankles. That, you know, you spend too long in here and your ankles begin to really irritate you. What's on the floor, Sarah?
It's
wood.
Yes.
So there's no carpet, no light, it's just bare floorboards. Are they, what stench are they?
It's more in something.
No. So it's not the kind of strip pine effect that you get in Ideal Homes magazines. It's beginning to crack, splinter. If you're not careful, you get nasty splinters right up the toenails. Yeah.
And it makes a lot of noise when
you're
walking.
And you know, you're so aware that there are people below when you move around. And it's like people are watching you when you're in it. Now, I'll just step out of the room for a minute because we could go into so much more detail. And indeed, I would. I would if I was working with a group of young people, because what we begin to do is invest ourselves in this space. It becomes socially real and meaningful. But I hope it just begins to demonstrate how we can begin to make our imagination an active agent in our understanding. And we begin to place what we know. I lived in a room like that too. I did when I was a student. I know about experiences that Arabic people may have had as they come, as foreigners, as others, to this city. We begin to fill it with our experience. Our experience is transformed because it's in the story, and we begin to find new understandings. I'll just give you a few more details and then we'll move on. I know that by the bed there's one object, just one ordinary, everyday object that the man brought with him into the room. I don't know, it might have been something that someone else had discarded, or something he found, I don't know. But it was there, by the side of his bed. And I was wondering, can anyone tell us what they think that is?
A mobile phone.
A mobile phone.
A book.
Well, a mobile phone and a book. I'm going to go with mobile phone because it was the first one. And what I'm about you to do is, if I just give you a pen, can you draw the mobile phone for us on this piece of paper? Thank you. It doesn't matter, it's not an exercise in drawing. It's an exercise in representation. Just draw it and then go and place it exactly as it is in the room. Do you know what brand this is? It's Nokia, of course. How stupid of you. What else? Is it a touch phone or is it button? You don't know. Has it got any credit? It's a phone without credit. You can't even use it.
But you have somebody can call you.
But someone can call you and there's always emergencies. You go place it on the bedside table, exactly where it belongs. Put it on the bed. Yeah? That's fine. It's on the bed. Maybe the last time he was in there, he finished the conversation and just tossed it on the bed. Maybe he was angry. Or maybe he was just tired. This window, it rattles in the wind. It's like the putty, we call it, it's coming away from the wood. So newspaper has been stuffed in to keep the draft out. And the curtain, there's only one shred of curtain left on this side. It's but if you stand here from the third floor and look down the street, you can see for a very, very long way to a blind corner. I want you to introduce yourself to the door. I want you to stand by the window and I want you to tell us what you can see when you visit school in as much detail as possible. Okay, take your time.
I can see a lot of cars driving, people walking around. At the side of the road there are little shops or like market places where the price of things are sold.
What kind of things?
Well, there's like groceries but also other.
If you were to inhale the street, what would you smell?
Gasoline.
and
bakery also.
For the bakery?
It's not very pleasant. Gasoline.
It's quite early in the morning and the bread is still quite fresh. The smell is still quite strong. But it's competing with the fumes from the gasoline. Thank you. Again, there's so much more we could do, but again, we haven't the time. So I'd like to just tell you a little bit more about this man. The room is empty apart from some clothes in the chest. His mobile phone with no credit, but can receive incoming calls if there's someone on the other end still willing to call. And under the bed, pushed up against the back wall, is his suitcase. And what I'd like to do is show you the man. And I'd like you to watch and listen and smell, and then you can tell me what you see, what more we've learned about him in this space. Okay?
ex-prisoner coming to another prison?
Criminal.
You saw someone criminal? Someone who had been imprisoned and now out for the first time. Right.
Somebody who's going to put his own life in the suitcase. Everything he's got is in the suitcase.
Everything he's got is in that suitcase. Absolutely everything.
Yes, maybe his country, maybe his all belongings, maybe just one letter, but it's everything he's got. Maybe he's afraid to open it because it's like a shrine inside.
It's almost like he might be fearful of opening it because it's almost like a shrine inside. It might even be empty. I don't know. But it's got everything in. How can something that's empty hold all of your life?
It was closed in a certain period of his life, maybe in his own country. Maybe it's the air of his country inside.
Maybe it carries the soil of his own town in it. But I'm afraid it also has his medical record, a medical file. It also contains some medical files. What was happening here? What was happening here? In some way, he was communicating, trying to communicate, but the language that he had to hand is foreign to him. And so that's a breakdown in communication. And he's lonely, he's isolated. He's isolated in this space. And some of us see a man who carries a shrine to his life that may be empty, but some of us see a criminal. Some of us see a criminal.
Hiding somewhere he cannot be seen, carrying something in his bag which is obviously precious, maybe a weapon or part of it, and looking in the newspaper to see whether his face is already there or not.
It's amazing what we see, isn't it? It's amazing what we can see. In the imagination's eye. I don't know what's right or wrong, I really don't. But I can tell you one thing that I do know. And I know this man sat there for a long time with his head in his hands. And then he did the strangest thing, actually. He looked at the newspaper again. He tore it into pieces. He put it in the suitcase. Checked himself in the glass. And then left the room. Now, I'm saying that that's what he did. The strangest thing is, I don't know how he did it. And that's important. Because it's through how we do it that we begin to understand why he did what he did. Now, this is really difficult. It's really difficult. But I really need to know how he did that. I really need to know. And I suspect there are many ways that it might have happened. He might have been gentle, he might have been outraged, he might have been precise, he might have been completely and utterly arbitrary, I don't know. But I do know he did it, and he put it in the case. And what I would like to invite somebody to do, because this is really important that we can do this, is place themselves in the shoes of the man and walk into the room, put on the coat, sit with your head in your hands, and then tear up that newspaper and place it in the suitcase. Just experience it for us. And in experiencing it for us, show us how you did it. It's not easy. Would someone please try? Just stand by the door for a moment, okay? No? You can step in, Jamie. Don't make up your mind what we're going to do. Just experience the room and do it. And it's not a right or a wrong. We're trying to make meaning of the situation, not act. We're trying to enact a moment in a man's life. So you take your time, enter the room, put on the coat, and let's just see what it tells us about it and his situation. Thank you. she stepped in before we'd established all kinds of things. But it was important because I still think it demonstrated the power of the objects in action in our collective social imagination. I wanted to ask, what did she tear up? And what did it tell me about the shrine or the empty life or what is in there or where he's come from and where he's going? And there's so much that you could unpack with that that is incredibly powerful. Not just the bits that are torn, but what about the bits that was carefully folded, beautifully folded, smooth and slid into this case that has almost become personified. Almost personified. Now, I need to finish in a moment, but I just wanted to say that in terms of this project and this example of practice, what we would do is we would perhaps, I've been in when I've done that 15 times with the kids, people wanting to try it and work it and work it, and the results are astonishingly powerful. And it's the most beautiful acting I have consistently seen, because young people are not giving us artifice, they're going right to the centre of the problem. And they're relying on themselves in the situation to make it happen. And it's beautiful. And then what we might do is we might begin to go out into the world, into that street, may even go to the point that someone had pointed to. It might be the vegetable store. And we would dramatise the man encountering with his suitcase the people of the street. And out of that we would see what would develop, and we would develop more moments. And then eventually, in the workshop, we return back to the room. But we're not just returning back to the same room. We're returning to a room that has now been transformed with this incredible energy and knowledge of yourself and of your society. And we would see the man in this room again, and I would tell the young people that it finishes with a knock on the door. And I would ask the young people what they think, or who they think, is knocking on the door. And the range of responses is remarkable. From a ghost, to himself, to his past, to his future, to someone who wants to take everything he has from him. A whole range. And that's what I mean by the imagination in action, and what I think. It's a dialect, it's a dimension, it's an energy that educational theatre and drama can bring to learning. Learning to learn, conscious of themselves, to communicate, to bring their culture, to engage with social competencies, to be able to be entrepreneurial in the way that they can take this as an enterprise and make it their own. It's not mine, it's theirs. It's their suitcase by the time we've finished. But above all, to touch on number six, which is the most important business of what it is in human. So, thank you very much for participating. That's very generous of you, and
thank you very much, Chris. And as part of being human, we are going to have lunch now. The lunch will happen two floors below, so we will go to level 5 by following exit signs. And then when we are in a hall, you will see, when you look down, you will see black lava furniture. This is where lunch will happen. So we'll take elevators two floors down to the 5th, and then when you leave, it will be on your left. And please come sharply at 1, because we will start sharply at 1. Thank you.